Blog Talk Radio.
Hey y'all, it's Chad Bearden and you're listening to Weekdays with Murph.
I'm trying to remember someone I can't forget. Like a song I don't know that I can't get out of my head. Can't seem to shake the face
of... Hi listeners and welcome to another edition of Weekdays with Murph. Today on the show, we welcome back a very, very dear friend of the show and a very, very dear friend of mine, the lovely Miss Kirsty Krause. We'll catch up with Kirsty about what she's been up to since the last time she was on her a brand new record, which is out literally everywhere as of I think it was last week. It dropped digitally, so it's out everywhere. It's out physical copies, digital copies, copies are on her website, literally everywhere. And we'll also talk about her CMA Fest week schedule and anything else she's got coming up. This is going to be a fun show, folks. So with that being said, let's go ahead and welcome back one of my very dear friends and favorite people, the lovely Miss Kirsty Krause. Hey, Kirsty, how are you?
Hello. Oh, my gosh, you are so sweet. I'm so happy to be on here today. It is always an honor, and you're right, I got some celebrating going on because the record is officially out.
And like I said, it's out literally everywhere. I mean, we got physical copies. It's out digitally. It's on your website. It's everywhere now.
Yeah, I am so pumped. I've been waiting for this moment for a long time. Even talking about it right now gives me goosebumps all down my legs. Like, I have been working and working towards being able to share this music with everybody. And now that the Yes You Can album with 11 songs is everywhere, it feels surreal. I mean, it's just awesome.
Now, we're going to dive into the album a little bit later because I've got some things to say about it. Let's just leave it at that. I've got some things to say about it. You've been in Nashville now how long? 5 years, is it?
It's been a little over 4 years. So I would say 4 years and some change. I think my October was my anniversary. So a little over 4.5 years. Yeah.
Okay. And we've pretty much known each other since a couple months after you moved to town. We've pretty much known each other that entire time, which is crazy.
Yeah, I know. So you've watched, you know, kind of the progression of all my releases, and you knew about this record a long time ago.
I did. And I was going to... get into that. I got a chance to listen to the record back many months ago when it was just virtually demos at that point. And I got to tell you, Kirsty, people have sent me a ton of music, released or otherwise, over the years, and I never take that for granted when somebody sends me a unreleased track or an unreleased record just to kind of get my opinion on it. I never take that for granted.
You know, and I feel like because I've known you for so long and just how our friendship is, I was able to send you it in full confidence, knowing that you're not going to speak about it and you're not going to share it, because, you know, it's a lot of work for an independent artist to put out music themselves, and of course you worry sometimes if maybe it's going to leak or somebody's going to talk about it before, you know, like, so it doesn't come off as professional, and I know that I can trust you.
And that means the world to me when I started covering music 8 years ago, I said, if somebody tells me something or shows me something in confidence, it goes no further than me unless or until I'm told otherwise.
I love that. And I know on behalf of me and, like, other artists, we appreciate that. And you've always, you just always have been there for me.
And I'm here to tell you, that's not going to stop.
Aww.
You're essentially stuck with me for life. You're essentially stuck with me for
I'm
life.
I'm totally okay with that, yes.
So, but seriously, though, I'm getting back to sharing things in confidence. I will never break the trust I've got with an artist. I'll never do that.
That's good. That's wonderful.
So, I'm going back to the record a little bit, and then we'll get into some more things you're doing, like your CMA Fest schedule, which I've got pulled up on your website now. But probably my favorite jam on the record is Just One More. I love that song so much.
Yes, I love that.
And there's a line, I think it's either in the second verse or the bridge, it said, damn, my uncle's in the zone, give that man a microphone.
Yes.
Things are about to get weird. I literally laughed out loud reading that. I literally laughed out loud.
Damn, my uncle's in the zone, hand that dude a microphone. Honestly, like, that song is literally about my experiences in Wisconsin, and I had a specific uncle in mind, and we were talking about doing even karaoke, and I, of course, had to put the Achy Breaky Heart song in there because that was the first song I ever sang in public, and it just has so much of those, like, kind of moments in that song, and it really is my homage to Wisconsin.
Nice. But
or really any small town, you know? Like, I feel like other people can relate to that, and they can envision a tiny small bar.
100%. 100%. Like, I'll give you a prime example. In July, I got invited to do this little karaoke thing next month, and it's probably going to go off the rails pretty quick.
I heard you were telling me about that. What, you said you picked out your song already.
I did. Brantley Gilbert's One Hell of an Amen. I love that song.
Yes, yes. I think that's going to go over really well, and it sounds like a really fun event. I wish I could be there in person. But good for you for just adapting, because you said, like, the event ended up changing to be something else, and you're like,
right.
Cool,
right.
I got this. I know what song I'm going to sing. I'm here for it.
It was originally going to be with a live band, but they had to cancel for personal reasons, so they turned it into a karaoke event, which was fine with me, you know?
Yeah, totally. I love that.
Now, I want to talk about some of the slow jams on this record. And my favorite slow jam, and it sounds like it came from a very, very personal experience. Sorry's Not Enough.
Yes, that did come from a very personal experience. I just feel like at some point that's the last song on the record, and it kind of breaks down and does like a string section, primarily acoustic, and then just builds a little bit with the string section. And it's just about being the bad guy sometimes, and it really is my version of an apology letter to a really good girlfriend of mine, a friend from high school that I just felt like I needed to write that song for. And so it's kind of, I hope one day she hears it and hears all the words on there and knows that it's just coming from a loving place of just feeling remorse for things I've done.
As soon as I heard that song, I'm like, this is going to hurt.
Yeah. It's also very, like, it's kind of got some bluesy things to it and some bluesy passing notes. So I just love being able to perform that song.
Absolutely. And I'm a sucker for a good slow jam. I love slow ballads. I don't know why, but I do. I don't know exactly why that is, but I do.
Just Sorry's Not Enough.
Right.
There's another slow jam on there.
And I'm glad you said that because Thirsty is one of my favorites too.
Oh, I love it. Thirsty has been in my life now for, I don't know, about four years. I've been able to perform that song, and I don't think there's one full band performance that I haven't put that song in there because it's just so dear to my heart. And obviously, I think you know the backstory with the whole joke about having the word thirsty in as many songs as humanly possible. And that's kind of how the whole concept started. Like, that's kind of how the whole title of the song, everything started, was from a conversation about that.
And I was looking because I have a subscription to Apple Music, and it lets me look at the lyrics and all that stuff. And I was looking, you either wrote or co-wrote a lot of this album.
I did. There's two songs on there that I did not have a hand in writing, and which I, you know, was like, do I do that or not? Because you know how big I am into songwriting. I've been writing since I was 12 years old, full songs, and then going to Nashville since I was 15. So I was like, do I include songs on there? But you know what? At the end of the day, like, don't get in your own way. A good song's a good song. And I, Moving In was one of those songs I did not write and was everybody loved. They just loved it when we performed it live. And so it kind of got voted in by the people, by the Thirsties. And also the other song is Thirsty that I just knew had to be on the record. And it was such a gift. It's such a beautiful song that I just was like, you know what? This has to be on here.
Now let's switch gears for a second. I'm gonna come back to the record in a minute, but I want to talk a little bit about your CMA Fest schedule this week. How excited are you for after 2 years of no CMA Fest? How excited are you for this year?
Oh my gosh, I am so excited! I've already for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, I've already shared posters back and forth with friends who I know are going to be at CMA Fest. Certain artists I for sure want to see, like Cassie Ashton and Lauren Elena, and just the aspect of being able to see those humans up on stage doing their thing, like essentially what I did last weekend. I'm so excited for them, and I'm also excited to perform and be in town and be back in Nashville after being gone for just under 2 weeks in my home state on tour. So it just feels good to be home, and it feels good that CMA Fest is in full force this year. I'm ready for it.
And speaking of being home, I know how much home in Wisconsin mean to you. Of course, I know your mom well, how good was that to be home for a couple of weeks?
It was really good. I got to see so many people. One of the festivals I played was called World's Largest Brat Fest, and literally it's pretty much the event up there in the Madison, Wisconsin area where I'm from that kicks off the summer. Everybody's together. You get brats, you get live music, you have a couple beers, and everybody gets to see each other because all the sets are like 45 minutes to an hour. So I got to see some other people's sets. I got to perform which we can totally talk about in a second. But that was super fun. And just to see people that literally have been following the other bands I've been in, and they've been with me on this journey, and to have them be wearing my, like, original T-shirts for the album, which are now sold out. And it's a totally different level to get hugs from people like that, that are just, you can tell that they're proud because of the growth that they've seen I've been working on and doing, and I can see it in their eyes, and that just means everything to me. Like, that's, it was wonderful.
Now, I know you brought up Rip. And,
yes.
And I know you brought that up, and I think you know where I'm going with this. I think you know where I'm going. Your version of Jolene with him is probably, it's probably one of my favorite jams ever.
I love it. It's the only song out there right now that's not something that I released myself. It's the only other duet right now I have, and it was so much fun to do that with him.
Yes, folks, I can rap Rip's part. I can probably do it with my eyes closed at this point.
You could have done it instead of him last weekend.
I know. That's what I was about to say. Y'all tagged me in so many posts on Instagram.
Yes, we did. Because we both know how much you love that song. You've declared it a couple. You've posted about it a couple times on Instagram. So thank you so much for sharing that out. But it's been 2 years in the making since we, you know, a little under 2 years since we released that song.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we got to perform it together live at Brotfest mm-hmm. on stage. So Friday night before my full band performance on Saturday, I went down to the festival and went up on stage for one song to perform with Rip, and that was just, it was 2 years in the making, so it felt really good to be able to do that and to be on stage with him. That was my first time on stage with a Christian rap artist, or any rap artist for that matter.
Nice. That is awesome.
Check. Yep. Never thought I'd do that. Check.
I take that one off the bucket list.
Exactly.
Now, switching gears here, I don't think we covered this last time, but you, my friend, are a podcast co-host yourself.
I am.
You co-host the Backstage Pass. So talk about that a little bit.
I do. I joined the team as an official co-host in December during the shutdown. So it was December of 2020, and we started having conversations about it probably in June, and then I announced that I was official part of the team in December. So super, it's been literally a door open for me, and I was like, oh my gosh, why did I not think of doing this before? Now that I'm doing it, because I enjoy it so much. And I look back, and I feel like when I was 4, I had this little recorder with cassette tapes in it and a little microphone, and I used to record myself, like, interviewing my aunts and uncles at family functions. So you'd think I would maybe go more and pursue that. But it wasn't until I had this opportunity with the Backstage Pass that I feel like everything opened up in my mind and made sense. And I've been having a blast being able to discover artists that I've never discovered before, and also speak with artists who are killing it, mega talented, and I can just be there to facilitate an interview for them and talk about all the awesome things that's going on for them, and almost like be learning from them. So it's been an awesome experience, and I am so glad to be a part of the team on the Backstage Pass powered by the Sports Guys podcast.
And now you know how I feel.
Yeah, I know. It's been really rewarding, and I do look forward to interviews. Like, I just spoke with Alexandra Kay and just a bunch of artists that I've never had a chance to chat with yet, or I've met through them, and because of it, like Ali Colleen and things, like I feel like I genuinely know them because I've gotten to know them through interviews. So when I run into them at CRS, it's like, hey girl, how's it going? You know, very different conversation, and that's really cool too.
I'm the same way. I mean here probably last year I was talking to a producer friend of mine here on the podcast. We've never met in person, and I told her about my many visits to Nashville, and I'm like, and she goes, yeah, I think I've seen you around town before. I'm like, wait, what?
Isn't that cool? It's just like, it makes it, you know, Nashville's already a small world, but it makes it even smaller when you really start to being able to interview artists that are around doing their thing and killing it. Like, it's really cool to be part of their journey and be celebrating with them and, like, hearing about what's going on in their world.
Oh, 100%, absolutely. Something else I did want to talk about is prior to your 2 weeks back home in Wisconsin, you've been on the road pretty much constantly this year.
Yes. I mean, I can't believe we're already in June. It's been 6 months of 2022. And I guarantee you, I think someone told me this. Brady Lee, who I tour with, told me this the other day. He's like, I think you've spent more time in Florida already this year than you have in Nashville. And
I think you may be right.
I mean, I guess because the first part of the year is cold everywhere else. So I spent a lot of time in Florida, did a lot of shows, got to do the Strawberry Festival. I've got more festivals coming up now in other parts of the country. I love being on the road. I love meeting new people. I love being able to just share the songs and perform. It's bringing joy to people brings me joy. So that's definitely my first love of this profession is the people and being able to do music on top of it.
You know, I'm the exact same way with what I do with the podcast. I value and look forward to other people's success way more than my own.
Aw, I love that. Like, I do as well. Like, I really feel like we're a family and we are sharing in the success with one another. And, you know, I feel like it's a situation where each other navigate this road and be the best that we can be, and it's kind of a collective. That's what it feels like.
Absolutely. And you know this well. I've always said there's a quote that I think I shared it once as a meme. It says when I get to the top, I'm gonna reach my hand down for the rest. And that's something that I absolutely live by.
I love that. That's a really good quote. And I love that. I just feel like also I think this is a little homage to like Wisconsin, but I feel like because of where I'm from, everybody is exactly who they are. You know, there's no gimmicks, there's no anything. They're just happy being them and telling their stories and all the things. So I think that there's always going to be a part of me that just because of my roots is going to be that, you know, like I'm from Wisconsin, I'm a Wisconsin girl through and through. And you got to stay humble. You really do, no matter what's going on in your circle. And I think that's really important.
Absolutely. I mean, I totally agree with that. Okay. So, I know we've already talked about the record, but another jam on the record that I just absolutely love is Girlfriend Intervention. That is sassy.
Yes.
That is so sassy. Yes.
Do you see, did you get a chance to look at the words? Because I just realized officially, probably a couple days after the release, that all of the words I submitted are officially on Apple Music. So I wanted to make sure
I
shared that out.
I did.
They
mm-hmm.
are there. So that's awesome mm-hmm. that you saw those lyrics, because it is pretty sappy.
It's sassy. That's all I'm going to say.
Even the second verse where it talks about how essentially you're moving everything out to like break up with this guy and move away. And
yep.
you take, you know, everything with the silverware and the couch and just everything. So he comes home to an empty house and I'm sure people can visualize that visual.
Yeah. It's like, wait a second, what happened here?
Mm-hmm. And then, if they still didn't know what happened, then it says it verbatim in the bridge, where I have
right.
a speaking moment that I
mm-hmm.
literally verbatim say what happened.
Right. That killed me. I was like, she just actually went there.
Yeah, I'm sure. There are a couple moments where I do speak on this album, you know, like in
mm-hmm.
The End of Just One More, or like in Something New, I say, here we go, you know, and like,
right.
I'm an artist that really does focus on like the live kind of performance, so I wanted to give it an element of live, but the Girlfriend Intervention part where I speak in the bridge, that takes it to a whole another level of theatrics and just all of it, so it's just a funny moment, and I'm sure you can imagine what that felt like performing live for the first time.
Oh, well, I can only imagine the look on people's faces. It's like, did she just actually say
there
that?
There was definitely looks on people's faces. Let me say that.
I can imagine. Oh, man. Well, hey, thank you again for doing this today. It's always great to get to catch up with you and hear what's going on in your world.
Oh, absolutely. It means so much to me that we get to do this together and find time to be able to talk about this, celebrate the record. I love hearing that you love Sorry's Not Enough and Girlfriend Intervention and the slow songs, like, just talking about this record lights me up. So I appreciate you taking the time to help me celebrate the release.
One more thing I did want to mention before we go is your Josie Award nomination.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. I am in awe. I'm so excited. So I was. No, so first of all, I was nominated for like Female Women of Country, which I'm super excited about, and the fact that this is going to be held in October at the Grand Ole Opry, which means there is some sort of percentage in there that I could maybe accept an award on stage at the Grand Ole Opry, which blows my mind. Seriously, blows my mind.
Right.
But just to be nominated is amazing. And then I also, you know, found out when I looked everything up, I was nominated as a fashion trailblazer, which I love.
I saw that.
I love that.
That
made my day,
for you.
For sure. Okay.
Quick story for you. I was watching the live stream live announcement, and it got down to sort of the end of my category, and I was like, am I going to get a nomination, or what's happening here? But as soon as she said, Weekdays with Murph, I'm like, well, that's it. I'm shutting her off.
You know, like, that's a lot of categories. And it is. It is a lot of it's a lot of categories. But I love, like, it is the largest independent music awards. And they have, in the past, after reading and doing a little more research and digging, like, they've hosted it at Nissan before, which blows my mind. That's insane to me. And it also, like, having it be in the heart of Nashville this year and having it be at the Opry, I mean, I can't even imagine how many people are going to be there. I'm nervous already for that event. I'm, like, anxious for it already. And now being fashion trailblazer, I'm like, what am I going to wear?
They've hosted it at Nissan Stadium. They've hosted it at Gatlinburg. They've hosted it, of course, there at the Opry. They've hosted it several places. So, yeah, I always like to say it's the Independent Grammy Awards.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's well said. I got to go last year with Grace Maher, and it was such a nice night. Both of us were nominated for Music Video of the Year. For my camp, it was the Thirsty music video that was nominated. And so I had a blast going and just taking it all in. And I'm honored to be nominated again.
And I cannot believe I'm saying this, but this is my third nomination.
Woohoo! Go, Cody! I love it. I love it.
Which
and I'm going to see you there.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
And speaking of which... I think on Facebook, I just shared, it was a couple of days ago, the first and only picture that we took together the night we met in person. And we need an updated picture soon.
We do. And I think unless it's before October, otherwise we will have the perfect updated photo in October.
Absolutely.
'Cause I'm going to wear my best.
Same. I joked. I said, how extra would it be for me to roll up to those awards in a limo?
I love it. Hey, if you're getting a limo, I want to join in on it.
Done. Well, hey. Like I said earlier, this has been so much fun getting to sit down and talk with you about a CMA Fest, about this record, about everything.
Oh, my gosh. I agree. Time always flies with you, and every time we talk, it lights me up. I feel like I have a big old smile on my face the whole time. So thanks for shedding some light today, even more on just my day in general, and I so appreciate this.
I haven't stopped smiling in 30 minutes.
Good. Good. I love it.
Hey, listen, before we go, I just want to tell you that number one, I love you to death. You already know I just love you to death. I love you pieces. And number two, it's always such a joy talking to you.
Aw, I love you too, and I agree, and it is always a joy. And now I just got to release more music so we can celebrate it.
I'm looking forward to it, girl. I am so looking forward to that. Well, I think I'm going to let you go and let you get back to your evening. But you know you've always got an open invitation back anytime you want to come back home.
Wonderful. I love hearing that. Thank you. I love it.
I'll talk to you later, Christy, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Super appreciate it. And please go listen to the brand new album that is out everywhere digitally. Yes, you can.
Absolutely.
All right. Bye, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye, Cody. Love you. Bye.
Love you. All right. All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed our interview with the lovely Miss Kirsty Krause. Let's see. I'm working on something for next week, but the 21st, we welcome back the incredibly talented Miss Megan Barker. So I think with that, I think I'm going to end the episode right here. You've been listening to Weekdays with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.